More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Democrats come out warning Joe Biden about how formidable of a candidate Donald Trump really is. This is cocaine residue is found on Hunter Biden's leather gun pouch. We'll have the details on that. And a cover-up in the Lloyd Austin secret now ambulance ride because he didn't want anybody to know that he was incapacitated. Yes, we have a ton to talk about, but let's first start with David Axelrod. You may know David Axelrod is the man that was behind Barack Obama. He is a big-time Democratic strategist. When he talks, the Democratic Party listens. David Axelrod is now warning the Biden campaign, you better wake up to the real threat of Donald Trump beating you. Former White House senior advisor and noted strategist said that President Joe Biden and his campaign had better get it into gear. Obviously, criticizing the Biden campaign because they're going up against a, quote, formidable opponent in the GOP front runner, Donald Trump. Axelrod, an advisor to former President Barack Obama, made the comments in the aftermath of Trump's landslide historic victory in the Iowa caucuses. The president and his campaign need to get into gear, and they need a message. That is what Axelrod said on CNN. Axelrod has been a frequent critic of Biden, previously saying that Biden is solely going after Trump as a threat to democracy, reiterating Tuesday that Biden will need more than just that. He went on to say this.
The president and his campaign need to get into gear, and they need a message. And they need a message that takes in not just democracy, but the day-to-day concerns that people have. And they need to prosecute it every single day through every single surrogate. That's what winning campaigns do. So the people who have to sort of get in gear are not those who have concerns about what might happen in November, but the campaign itself. And there are signs that that's beginning to happen. It has to happen faster because the threat is clear. And if there's one thing that the Biden campaign should be happy about is it's very clear now what the race is. There's no ambiguity. It's going to be Biden versus Trump. Mm-hmm. And so begin to draw those parallels, not just on democracy, but on issues that are important day to day in people's lives.
In people's lives. Axelrod obviously not having much faith that the President of the United States of America can even pull this off, much less turn it around, as he has said there. And they need a message that takes it not just about democracy, but the day to day concerns that people have. In other words, he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know what's actually happening and what the people understand and what the people are feeling right now. Quote, I'm not suggesting he doesn't have talking points in his record that will support a message. But let's all be aware, and Trump proved again yesterday, he is not a normal candidate. And he is not, and he is a pretty formidable candidate. And now he's on the ballot. Trump won in Iowa, as you know, with a record-breaking 51% of Republican support, a margin of roughly 30 points over Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, living up to the polls almost to the number. Further, 66% of caucus goers said Biden's win in 2020 was, quote, illegitimate. Biden almost certainly won't win Iowa under any circumstances in the general election. But there are likely voters in swing states who feel the same way about the 2020 election, meaning that Biden had better have a plan B, Axelrod went on to criticize, saying this, Biden needs a strong and repetitive narrative. I'm moved by the soul of America's argument, but I also am mindful of the fact that Americans have real challenges in their day-to-day lives, and they're probably not sitting around the kitchen table every day pondering what the founding fathers intended. Axelrod then said this, the thing that I would look at if I were the Biden campaign is that third of people who say no, the election was legitimate. Yes, I think that President Trump would be unfit if he were convicted of a crime, he said, according to the Washington Examiner. It seems to me among that group, there are people who might consider to vote for Biden, but I don't consider myself a pearl clutcher. I consider myself a realist. Now, I tell you this story because I think it makes you understand what's happening in the Democratic Party. Notice I said earlier that Axelrod is not a big ally of Biden. He is an ally of who? Barack Obama. And for the first time ever yesterday, you can now bet in Vegas on the possibility of Michelle Obama being the nominee. That had never happened before. That's right. Michelle Obama, you can now get odds in the presidential election cycle. Now, if you go and you look at these odds, it now has presidential election futures. The winner, Donald Trump, 132 to 1. Michelle Obama is then at 1,700 to 1. Gavin Newsom, 2,900 to 1. Kamala Harris, 8,400 to 1. What does this mean? What it means is now the odds makers are saying in Vegas they believe there is an actual chance that the idea that I talked about here, the idea that Senator Cruz and I talked about on our podcast Verdict, is real. And that would be that they figure out a way to replace Joe Biden at the convention and hand the nomination through those delegates that are there to Michelle Obama. You can now get a bet on that. You also can look at this another way. In the U.S. presidential election 2024 futures, Democratic candidate right now, you have Joe Biden at minus 312, Gavin Newsom at plus 1550, Kamala Harris at plus 4100, Michelle Obama plus 1100. Now, what does that mean? It means Michelle Obama is basically in second place right now in the U.S. presidential election futures for the Democratic candidate above Gavin Newsom, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Stacey Abrams, Dean Phillips, which you can also make bets on. So you take a look at this, and they're picking up, the odds makers are picking up exactly what I picked up months ago now. Democrats are not happy, and Axelrod is proof of that. They are trying to figure out a way to offload Joe Biden, and they realize that Joe Biden is incapacitated. They realize that Joe Biden is a disaster, his policies right now, and they realize they're having a really hard time defending him. I'll give you another example of this. Joe Manchin saying this on Fox News Channel. This is a Democrat saying this. Listen.
Senator, you believe the border has basically collapsed. You've never seen it so bad. So in your estimation, we just had a one of the leaders of the president's reelection committee come on with Brett Baer yesterday and said, but Donald Trump did nothing at the border and the border's better under Joe Biden. Do you think that's a correct assessment?
That is absolutely false. They are living in la-la land. It's a disaster and they know it's a disaster. So let's fix it. And only thing I would implore the president to do to consider this and to do it immediately, if Congress cannot come together because the perfect could be the enemy of the good, you have Republicans that might want to shut everything down, throw a border, throw any type of immigration out the window, and you have Democrats who might think everything's fine. It's not fine. It's a disaster. It's dangerous. And I would implore the president to declare a national emergency and secure our border immediately if Congress can't do something this week.
That's Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin, by the way, is now saying this, I think, for the same reason that other Democrats are coming out and saying it. They're saying, wake up, we are in trouble. I don't believe that Joe Manchin's a conservative or switching to the Republican side. He's sitting there saying, I think the President Biden has been a guy that doesn't understand the border. And he also said, look, I think he's been pushed too far to the left.
President Biden criticized by members of his own party as polls show him losing to Republican hopefuls in almost every battleground state, the latest one, Georgia. For months now, rumors have swirled of a potential third party run. Our next guest says he now plans to meet with the president before making a decision to, quote, move him to the center. Democratic Senator Joe Manchin, who says he will not be running for another 6-year term, joins us now. Senator, great to see you.
Hey, Brian, great to be with you.
Are you really going to try to get on the president's schedule and try to move him to the center before you make a decision on your next step?
Well, I think no matter who your president is, whether you're for him or against him, same party or not, you want your president to succeed. I think President Biden's been pushed too far to the left. I think he knows my feelings about that, and he should be coming back to the center or center left, which is where we make most of our decisions. It's where the economy is, and it's where the country is. There's not a successful person or family that makes any decisions from the extremes and thinks it's going to exist or last. So we're trying to bring it back, and if I get a chance and they want to meet, I'm happy to meet with them.
You notice they're talking about a future. I think the president has been pushed too far to the left. I don't know if he's been pushed to the left. I think he's just this radical, and the Democrats that are running the White House on the behalf of the president are absolutely this radical. Look at John Kerry. He said, I'm supporting Biden because he prevented an outbreak of war. What world is he living in? He said that in Davos at this World Economic Forum. He also said that we must get rid of all wood burning or coal burning or anything that burns any type of fossil fuels. He wants just electric everything, including your gas stove. And they think that's not radical. All right, let me tell you real quick about an amazing company. And if you're like me and you're sick and tired of giving your money to companies that hate you, that literally hate you, hate your family values, hate your Christian values, hate your traditional values. Well, now there's an option when it comes to your cell phone. I have switched to Patriot Mobile. And when I look at my phone every time, in the top left, it says Patriot. And I know that when I pay my bill every month, that a percentage of that bill at no extra cost to me is going to go back to support conservative causes, candidates, organizations, and most importantly to me, support the rights of unborn children in this country to live. Now, I do that every month because I love knowing that I'm giving my money to a company that actually loves my values. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they are the only one. Patriot Mobile is a great supporter of this show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them, because they support conservative ideals. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, the same exact cell phone towers you're using right now, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. Now, when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. So check out Patriot Mobile. Go to patriotmobile.com/Ferguson. That's patriotmobile.com/Ferguson or 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use the offer code Ferguson. Join me, make the switch today, and make a difference with every phone call. 972-PATRIOT or patriotmobile.com/Ferguson.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I want to also now turn to another story, and it's a story that you probably haven't heard at all yet because the media wants to make sure that you don't know about what I'm about to tell you. And it is something that is absolutely shocking, but also at the same time, not surprising at all. What do I mean? Well, there is a new report out. In new court filings, the DOJ, Department of Justice, says they pulled Hunter Biden's gun from evidence in 2023. And what did they find when they pulled his gun from evidence in 2023? They found a white substance on the leather gun pouch that the gun is in. An FBI chemist determined that that white substance was, yeah, you guessed it, cocaine. Cocaine. Now, to be clear, investigators literally found drugs on the pouch where the defendant had kept his gun. And the question is, what would happen to you or I if we had a gun pouch that had white powder on it with a illegal gun purchase? You would be in jail already. I would be in jail already. And what did the DOJ try to do? They tried to give a sweetheart deal to the president's son to make sure he didn't ever have to deal with any real issues with this gun charge. Probation, lying on a form, a felony, and then having cocaine. I'm going to read from you from this new court filing. In 2023, quote, FBI investigators pulled sealed evidence from the state police vault to take photographs of the defendant's firearm. After opening the evidence, FBI investigators observed a white powdery substance on the defendant's brown leather pouch that had held the defendant's firearm in October of 2018. Based on their training and experience, investigators believe that this substance was likely cocaine and that this evidence could corroborate the message that investigators had obtained, which showed the defendant buying and using drugs in October of 2018. An FBI chemist subsequently analyzed the residue and determined that it was cocaine. To be clear, this is what it says in the court filing. Investigators literally found drugs on the pouch where the defendant had kept his gun. Now, let me also remind you of the corruption here, just so you remember the backstory on this gun. Hunter Biden bought this gun while clearly he was using and buying, maybe even trading drugs. Right. That's number one. You need to understand that. Number two thing here is that gun, when he was acting erratic, his ex-sister-in-law turned lover decided to take that gun away from Hunter Biden and threw it into a dumpster that was like a block away from a school. After they realized, or he realized, or she realized that was really, really, really stupid, they went back to retrieve that gun, and the gun was nowhere to be found. There was a chance that a child could have picked up that gun. Then there was an investigation. This was during the time when the former vice president, Joe Biden, was a private citizen again, after he had left the White House under the Obama administration. So then what happened? Well, somehow they called in a favor to Secret Service, even though he was no longer under Secret Service protection. Let me say that again. Even though he was no longer under Secret Service protection, somehow the Secret Service were called on by somebody in the Biden orbit, and the Secret Service then went to the gun store where the gun was purchased, trying to get the paperwork that was filled out by Hunter Biden to buy that firearm. Now, luckily, that firearms dealer stood up to the Secret Service, the two men claiming they were Secret Service agents, and said, no, I'm not handing over that paperwork. Why were they getting that paperwork? Because I'm sure they wanted to destroy the evidence, because they knew that there was going to be a problem with that gun if it was not found quickly. Sure enough, you move forward, and what ends up happening? The FBI story, or the Secret Service story, I should say, comes to light. We find out that the Secret Service, who was not assigned to Biden at the time, did in fact go to that store and did in fact try to grab that paperwork and try to get it so that it couldn't be used against the former vice president's son. We now found out that they had this in evidence. And I'm sure the people that put the gun in the leather pouch into evidence knew that there was a white substance. I'm sure they knew that there was clearly a white substance. And they understood that there was a white substance. And what did they decide to do? Well, nothing. They put it into evidence, hoping they would never have to deal with it and it would never come to light. That's the story of the cover-up just of the simple gun here. You have dirty work being done by Secret Service agents. You've got a gun with a residue that is then being covered up, which is, again, truly shocking, just sitting there in evidence. Now they find it, and yet the media is not covering this story at all. If this is the first time you've heard about this, I'm not surprised. I also want to say that very clearly. And the reason why I say I'm not surprised is because the media will cover up anything they can to keep Joe Biden a viable candidate moving into this presidential election. And this story hurts him and hurts his administration. It's not really even about Hunter Biden. It's about the abuse of power at the hands of the president of the United States of America. And they know this. Now, I also go back and put it in a different perspective here. Imagine if the same exact story I just told you dealt with one of Donald Trump's children. Do you think it wouldn't be wall-to-wall coverage? I'll say it even a different way. Do you think there's a pretty good chance? Actually, not a pretty good chance, an extremely good chance that this would have been breaking news, that this would have been wall-to-wall news coverage, that this would have been a shocking details emerge moment, like shocking details emerge. Donald Trump's son and the gun found had cocaine on the packet. Like, that would have been a real news story. It would have been massive. It would have been a news story that everyone would have jumped all over and everyone would have lost their minds. Yet because it is the president of the United States of America now, who's a Democrat, and a son has a gun that's in evidence, that's being used right now as evidence, they're like, yeah, we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to tell you about that. We're not going to mention that. We're not going to bring it up. Oh, there's cocaine. Yeah, we won't cover the story. I was looking this morning to see if I could find this story anywhere. And guess what? I could not. And you want to know why? It's actually pretty simple. Because the media saw the story and they said, we're not going to cover it. We're deliberately going to not mention it. We're going to purposely act like it's not happening and move the other way. If you don't think they're cooking the books, if you don't think they're doing everything they can to cover up for the crimes of the Biden family, because this is not about Hunter anymore. This is about the power and the abuse of power by government officials and leaders, whether it's at the FBI, whether it's at the DOJ, right? Whether it's any one of these. It's no different, by the way, than what happened with Fauci. I'll go to Fauci for a second, and I want to remind you of something with Fauci. Fauci, for example, lied to Congress. Anthony Fauci lied to Congress. We know this for a fact. Is he going to be charged with lying to Congress? No. Why? Because he's one of them. They covered up the abuse of power when it came to COVID and all of the things that he got wrong. Remember the 6-foot rule? We talked about this on a previous show. It came out last week that Fauci has said now that, hey, guess what? When it came to the 6-foot rule, it just kind of appeared. Translation, we made it up. There was no science backing the 6-foot rule. This is no different than the cover up here with Hunter Biden.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from my this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to play for you something real quick just to kind of sum up what I was saying this morning about the lying from the media, whether it's the Hunter Biden gun case, whether it's, oh, we just randomly found cocaine from 2017 on his leather gun pouch that the gun was in while we just happened to be looking at evidence, whether it's the lying that has taken place by the president on the border security issue, that there are so many different lies here. And there's also something that I think should be compared, and that's this. The media tells you that the American people have lost faith in this country because of Donald Trump, right? That's when they say it all started. That people have lost faith in our institutions, in the FBI, in the DOJ, and the CIA, in government, and our health officials because of Donald Trump. That's their talking point. But there's another point that has to be made. Laura Ingraham on her show on Fox did a very interesting intro the other night after Iowa, reminding the American people that if you want to know why so many people have no faith in our government institutions anymore, it's not because of conservatives, it's not because of Trump. It's because of the scumbags in the Democratic Party, including Anthony Fauci, including the president of the United States of America, the double standard of justice. Take a listen.
The establishment regularly wrings their hands, befuddled by the public's obvious and dramatic loss of faith in America's once most respected institutions. Now, invariably, they blame Donald Trump for sowing these seeds of doubt. His and his mega mastodons, all of those, they're the ones who poison the public's thinking about everything from the FBI to the CDC.
I'm a politician, I know, but I'm listening to the scientists. Wear a mask, socially distance.
If the unvaccinated get vaccinated, they will protect themselves and other unvaccinated people around them. If they do not, States with low vaccination rates may see those rates go up.
Of course, these frauds all need to look in the mirror. They are solely to blame because they are the ones who just made stuff up to scare people and to control people. How many times did some annoying liberal woman chastise you at the grocery store checkout line or at the airport check-in counter? Social distancing, please. Remember that? Remember those annoying stickers? They're still there. Well, as the angle told you back in 2020, these rules, rules about masks, rules about social distancing, were not based in science at all. And now, years later, in testimony on Capitol Hill, Tony Fauci, the man responsible for it all, has begun admitting what we knew all along, that there was no data-driven evidence to support these rules. But we were supposed to blame Trump for all this? Those same fraudulent scare tactics are being used to mandate EVs. A lot of them are frozen here in Iowa this week. And of course, they want to outlaw gas stoves. You'll have to fight me for mine. And they want to push to ban meat, force you to eat grasshoppers. And of course, they want to ban natural grass lawns. Can't have those. The left wants to control you. They want to monitor you. And they want to chip away at your freedoms for your own good. Joining me now, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. Senator, they've been telling us that democracy is in danger if Trump gets in. But how would you describe what they've been doing to us?
Well, you know, democracy is in danger because you realize, Laura, you can't have democracy unless it's filtered through Rachel Maddow. We can't let Donald Trump speak directly to the people. By all means, democracy will only survive if she is channeled and filtered by Rachel Maddow. I mean, to listen to the ridiculous nature of these people who every day blather on about democracy's going to be defeated, we're going to lose democracy, and then the next breath they come out and say, but we must ban Donald Trump from being on the ballot because, God forbid, the American people, we cannot let them have a choice and let them vote for him. So it is a bizarre notion. And they have these convoluted ways of saying, well, we need an electoral process for supporting democracy, which involves sometimes limiting people who are against democracy from being on the ballot. They really are so addled, they can't even really conceive of how ludicrous the things are that they're saying.
Now, Senator, we discussed the fake social distancing rules that were put into place. They were everywhere. There were tyrants running around, you know, wagging fingers and yelling at people. And Tony Fauci essentially admitting that that was just based in nothing. What should the consequences be for him for all of the COVID fraud that was perpetrated on the American people?
Everything they blamed the right on, vaccine hesitancy, not trusting government officials, the loss of trust in government, I told them over and over again, and I still continue to tell them, it is at their feet. It's not at those of us who said, well, maybe we should examine individually whether older people might benefit from the vaccine versus younger people who might not need it, or whether or not people who have already been infected may not need to be vaccinated again, or maybe people don't need three or four vaccines if they've already been infected. None of these questions were ever answered. But the more they came out with things that weren't believable, like that your six-month-old needs three vaccines or your 12-year-old needs three vaccines, even if they've had COVID, and that none of the studies included the variable of whether you have had COVID. So they would do these large studies and compare booster to no booster, and they couldn't show that it stopped transmission because it doesn't. And for kids and teenagers and young people, they couldn't show that it reduced hospitalization or death, because it didn't, because these kids were rarely going to the hospital. So then they came up with, they said, well, if we vaccinate your kid three times, they make antibodies.
But Rand.
I mean, yeah. it wasn't proof of anything.
It was all, yeah, Senator, they were lying. And the lying had real consequences for children, their mental health, their education, for business, for our faith, not being able to go to houses of worship. I mean, that's fundamental American freedoms. And I'll ask you again, what should the consequences be for Anthony Fauci?
By the way, we all know what the consequence should be. And what Rand Paul went on to say is this: he should be in jail. I agree with him. But you go back to the not trusting and losing faith in our government institutions. Let me just give you this about Lloyd Austin. Lloyd Austin, Secretary of Defense, had a secret ambulance request that's now been revealed in a new 911 call. This coming from, of all places, the Daily Beast. Audio of the 911 call obtained by the Daily Beast reveals a request for emergency dispatchers to quote-unquote be subtle ahead of the defense secretary's secret hospitalization. The aide to the U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, who made the 911 call to request an ambulance for the top official early this month, requested that the dispatchers work to be subtle when they arrive at the residence. According to the audio recording of the January the 1st 911 call exclusively obtained by the Daily Beast, quote, "Can I ask, can the ambulance not show up with lights and sirens? We're trying to remain a little subtle here," the aide said, according to the recording, which the Daily Beast obtained through a Freedom of Information Act request in the state of Virginia. The dispatcher responded that the ambulance could do that, noting that usually when they turn into a residential neighborhood, they'll turn them off. She added that the ambulance is required by law to run the sirens and lights on main streets, such as Georgetown Pike and Leesburg Pike. The audio of the call, which was not previously been reported, reveals new details about the Secretary of Defense's emergency and suggested the effort to keep his ailment a secret was well known among his close aides. Although the Secretary of Defense kept the incident a secret from the public and from the United States President Joe Biden and other senior administration officials, it was revealed last week that he'd received surgery in December to treat and cure prostate cancer. He eventually went to Walter Reed National Military Medical Center after experiencing medical complications on January 1. It is not clear who asked the aide to request the ambulance dispatcher's attempt to fly under the radar, or if the aide acted of his own accord. The Pentagon did not return requests for comment. The identity of the caller has been redacted to protect personal information, according to the Fairfax County Department of Public Safety Communications. The department redacted other personal and health information from the call as well. Austin's name and the title are redacted on the call, but based on the timing and location of the Secretary of Defense's residence, the call can reasonably be assessed to be about his complications. The Secretary of Defense and this hospital visit and treatment has raised some concerns in recent days. This is coming from the Liberal Daily Beast. The extent of Austin's ailments and whether it impacted his ability to carry out command at a time of increased attacks on U.S. forces in the Middle East was unclear, quote, for several days. You want to know why the American people have no faith in our government? It's because of the story I just told you. It's because of Fauci. It's because of them saying, yeah, we just made it up, right? We just flat out made it up. The 6-foot rule to protect you, not based in science. It's because we find out that there was cocaine on the leather pouch for the gun, and no one found out about it until the end of last year in 2023. When that's been in evidence since, what, 2017? Oh, yeah, we just figured it out now. Yeah, there's some cocaine on this pouch. We were going to give him a sweetheart deal, but now we're not going to because you guys figured out the sweetheart deal was corrupt as hell. So now we're going to tell you about cocaine on the pouch of the gun in question that they say was bought while under the influence of drugs or during a time of drug use, lying on that form. Don't forget, share this podcast wherever you can on social media. Hit that little forward arrow and put it on Instagram, on Twitter, or X, on Facebook, wherever you are in social media. And I'll see you back here tomorrow morning.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kiwi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.